Good morning. Well, it looks as if the crisis just got bigger. It's hard to imagine now a peaceful exit from the Iraq crisis. Faced with the prospect of war soon, the people of the Middle East, and not a few people in the West as well, find themselves caught somewhere between frustration and uncertainty. The virtual certainty of an American walkover is going to have very uncertain consequences. No one has yet believably told us what Iraq will be like, even on the morning after. 700 years ago, the city of Baghdad, then probably the greatest city on earth, was receiving a series of urgent diplomatic messages from a superpower. The Iraqis had failed to comply with that superpower's strategic plans for the region. They had refused to pay tribute. They had refused to demolish the country's fortifications. The Caliph al-Mustas, against endlessly massaged his grand vizier, seemed determined to ignore the obvious military prowess of his neighbour. That neighbour was, as it happens, the Mongol ruler Hulagu, grandson of the terrifying Genghis Khan. His Mongol cavalry was the equivalent of today's irresistible armoured brigades. Against such an adversary, the defiance of the corrupt Iraqi leadership seemed suicidal. A series of negotiations failed to avert the predestined end. Hulagu attacked, and after a battle which lasted for 6 days and six nights, the Mongols fought their way into the city. Baghdad was filled with thousands of terrified refugees from the countryside. Some of the Caliph's generals changed sides, but others put up an unexpectedly bitter resistance. The Mongols' much-vaunted inflammable missiles unexpectedly set whole city districts alight. When the streets were finally in their hands, perhaps a million people lay dead. The conqueror set about rebuilding with great energy, but the city never again regained its former brilliance. A still greater surprise, however, lay in store for them. The Mongol princes, famously lacking in some of the spiritual virtues, began to learn from their new subjects. Within a century, the empire and its successor states had abandoned the ancestral Mongol religion and accepted the religion of the defeated. Mongol rulers, once committed to a life of endless conquest and plunder, came to patronize some of the greatest cultures Islamic history had ever seen. Repenting of his ways, one prince said on his conversion, "May God now allow me to work so that these countries and cities may again be populated, the sword be returned to the scabbard, that all people may dwell in peace and quietness." No conqueror in history has had the least ability to predict the consequences of his action. They conspired, as the Quran reminds us, but God was conspiring too, and God is always the best of conspirators.